Tonight we are going to go into Isaiah chapter 24. We are still in the judgment section of Isaiah. We also know that Isaiah is going to be a prophecy of Christ. And I find it interesting that Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. It's a microcosm. And God identifies the problem of Israel. And then He says that judgment is coming. And then He interjects some history in this to show that it really works. And then He talks about Christ. That's what's happening. God knows our problems. We know that judgment's coming. And God's made a way to escape. Those are the three major pieces of Isaiah. That's the Bible. But last week we talked about the burden of Tyre. And if you go and you read Ezekiel, we see that Tyre is actually a physical representation of the kingdom of Satan. In fact, Satan is actually called the king of Tyre in certain places. The ruler of Tyre is called the prince of Tyre. He's the prince to Satan. And it's actually used in Revelation as, you know, an example of judgment on the one world economic system. But in Isaiah 23, we see this commercial wealth will not bring salvation. You know, a lot of people go today and say that if I got a bunch of stuff, then I must be godly. That is not the case. They preach a prosperity gospel. That is not the case. You need a gospel of grace. We need salvation. And then God will add those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In verses 1 and 3, we see the discovery of the destruction of Tyre. It's like someone came up on an accident and they saw all the carnage and they saw the destruction and it bothered them. It was by returning ship crews. Tyre was a Phoenician city. And the Phoenicians had established trade routes and colonies all across the Mediterranean. By the neighboring city of Sidon, which was just to the north. And they came down and they discovered the same problem. And then by its trading partners, because now there's no one to trade with. See, God's judgment will come suddenly. And it will be without... He will not repent of it. And so when God's judgment comes down on Tyre, it's going to be a significant event. It's going to be an immediate event. It's going to be a total event. In verses 4 and 6, when they see this, there's a dismay of the destruction of Tyre. Hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen sometime in the future, probably about 40 or 50 years. Okay? The dismay on its founders. On the Egyptian commerce. Boy, all the other thing, you know, we see what COVID did to the world economic system. The disruption of the trade in Tyre and the seaport of that's going to disrupt all the economy. You know, nothing's changed. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. People experience the same problems then as we experience now. It's just on a different scale and maybe more visible because of our technology. And then the dismay of the destruction of Tyre on his colonies. They didn't know what to do. Now they are on their own. In verses 7 through 13, we see the description of the destruction of Tyre. It was an astonishing event. No one thought that this city that was situated on the seaport in the way that they had fortified it would ever fall. Because of an angry God. Because they did not follow what God does. Don't think you cannot follow God and not suffer negative consequences. Don't think you cannot follow God and not get judgment. And then it's an awesome result. It's total destruction. The city will be rebuilt and it'll be destroyed again by Alexander the Great. And that'll be prophesied too. The strongholds are destroyed and there's no escape of the consequences by an unknown conqueror. The Babylonians are just coming onto the scene. They've heard about them. They're hundreds of miles away. Years in the future. But you know something? God's judgment is coming for the world. It could be tonight. It could be 10 years from now. But it's coming. And all the things, all the mysteries will be revealed. by God. We won't be here. And that's a great comfort. But it's an unknown conqueror, and they identify the Chaldeans as being the one that does it. Then there's a decree of the destruction of Tyre. It's economic collapse. And tonight we'll get into more of that from a worldwide thing. There's a 70-year captivity. It's not aligned with the Jewish captivity. It just so happens to be 70 years too. And you know something? The problem is, they come back, they rebuild the city, they don't learn the lesson, and guess what happens? The same thing happens. You know, that happens in our lives, don't we? We keep on making the same mistake or doing the same action and expect a different result. It will not happen. You need to put God first. You need to do things God's way. And then lastly, there's the decree of the future of Tyre. And when God restores everything, including Tyre, all the stuff that Tyre does is going to be for Him. You know, we should be dedicating everything that we have to Him. Our resources, our time, because we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We're supposed to be good stewards and good servants of Him. So tonight in Isaiah chapter 24, we're going to see final world judgment. You know, whatever God makes, He judges. You go back to Genesis, and you know, go through the story of creation. And then what happened after God made a day's worth of creation? He says He saw that it was what? Good. He judged it. And then on the sixth day, He saw that it was what? Very good. You know, God made great things and good things. He never intended for it to get messed up. But we did a good job of doing that. And then the only other thing is that His judgment is inescapable. His judgment is inescapable. What God makes, He will judge. And He will judge the good and the bad. And either at the Bema Seat of Christ or at the Great White Throne Judgment. And we're going to get a glimpse of that tonight. So in verses 1 through 12 tonight, we see tribulation judgment from God. Tribulation judgment from God. Now, the Bible teaches, and I believe, that sometime in the future, there will be 7 years of tribulation. It is the 70th week of Daniel. You can read Daniel and you can find that. The judgment is over the entire world and is to show Israel that Jesus was God. And they missed Him the first time. People will have a choice. They will have a choice to follow God through Christ or not. God will give a witness. God will give 144,000 witnesses. And two great witnesses. Angels going across heaven. All these judgments coming down. You would think that people would turn to God. You know, after 9/11, people turned to themselves and turned to God for a while. And then did what? Forgot. Early in COVID, people were doing the same thing. And now we're forgetting. Things are going back to normal and we forget. But when God comes down and He rains down the seals and the trumpets and the vials, this is total judgment over the whole world. In verse 1 it says, behold. When God says behold, He says, look at this. Understand what's going to happen. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth what? Empty. So it's going to be totally different than what it is now. And maketh it what? Waste. And turneth it upside down. You know, we've seen some catastrophic events over the last couple of years. You ain't seen nothing yet. And it says, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. People are going to be running for their lives. If you go and you read the book of Revelation, we've studied it. We might go back and study it again. But people try to escape the judgment. You have all these people out there, doomsday preppers. You can prep all you want. You're not going to escape it. You're not going to be able to endure it in your own strength. The only way that you can deal with this is to escape it through Jesus Christ. Because if you go in the tribulation period and you've rejected Christ, you're going to believe a lie and there will be no hope for you. So this tribulation judgment from God, which is in the future, our future, is going to be total judgment. It's going to be universal judgment. You know, I find it very disturbing about people setting down rules and then not following themselves. But this judgment is going to be everything. Look at the verse here. In verse 2 it says, "And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest." There's no special privilege for all your religious acts. You're guilty unless you know Christ. "As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." It doesn't matter where you are, you're not going to escape. You know, the preacher in Ecclesiastes says one event happens to all, and that's death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the what?
Judgment.
All will be judged. And you can either be judged for your own things by yourself, or you can accept the gift of salvation on the cross and God taking your judgment on Christ. But this tribulation judgment from God is total. This tribulation judgment from God is universal. No one escapes. There is no privilege except for those that are sealed. The judgment for God is commanded. In verse 3, the land shall be utterly what? Empty. Emptied of everything that they thought precious. Emptied of everything that they thought holy. Everything that they thought was of value. It's going to be what? Emptied. And utterly what? Spoiled. Why? For the Lord has spoken this word. God said it, and it's going to happen. You know? You said, "God said it, I believe it." That settles it? Nuh-uh. God said it, it's going to happen whether you believe it or not.
Right.
It's going to happen. So this tribulation judgment from God is total, it's universal, it's commanded, and it's also mournful. You can go and read in Revelation, it talks about people trying to hide in the rocks of the caves, saying, "Fall on us! Hide us! Hide us from the face of God! Hide us from all these judgments!" In verse 4 it says, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away." In Romans chapter 8 it says that all creation what? Groans, waiting for the what? The redemption. God's got to take all this stuff away so He can make everything the way it was supposed to be. It says, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away." You know what languish means? It means just to wallow in sorrow. It's just to pine away. It says, "The haughty people of the earth do languish." You know, Proverbs talks about what happens. Haughtiness is an abomination to God. And so it's going to be a mournful judgment. In verse 5, it's going to be just. You know, this prayer request tonight, people blame God. You know one thing, God is love. But you know something else? God is just. He is the righteous judge. He will judge by truth. In verse 5 it says, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof." That's the problem. We messed it up. Mankind's messed it up. Because they have what? Ah! What is God judging against? His standard. People don't think that the Old Testament's worthwhile. Got news for you. It's part of the Word of God. God changes not. What is sin in the Old Testament is sin in the New Testament. They have transgressed the laws. They changed after Moses got all the ordinances, the Ten Commandments, all the ordinances. Over the centuries, all the rabbis and the priests changed. They started adding to it. You know what happens? You know why you don't get it? Because you start thinking about it. Last night I was asked a question, what about all these denominations? You know why we have all these denominations? Because people started thinking about it. They said, well, what about this verse? Well, we need to go do this. And now you got to, folks, we should all, if you're a believer in Christ, we all should worship the same way. What the Bible says. It doesn't matter what you got on the name of the door. We should be, but people have, I want to do it my way. They don't get it. What did Christ say to the religious leaders? Said, you have changed. You have worshiping the traditions of God, and you've replaced the commandments of God by the traditions of men. Isn't that the same thing here? They didn't learn the past. They didn't learn when Christ was walking the earth. And guess what? There's judgment coming. So, broken the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the what? Everlasting covenant. God didn't break it. Man did. And because God knew that man would, He sent another covenant. It's called Christ. So it's a just judgment. Don't think God is unfair. You know, all through in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, it says, you heard this prior, the teeth are set on edge. It's not fair. God's judgment is just, or He wouldn't be God. Then it's a terrible judgment. There's four pieces of this thing. There's no substance left. In verse 6 it says, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. When you devour, what's happened? There's nothing what? Left. There's nothing left of use. And they that dwell therein are what? Desolate. What happens when you're desolate? You have nothing. And therefore the inhabitants of the earth are what? Burned, and what? Few men left. Christ says in Matthew, He says, if those days were not shortened, then no one would go through it. So the first thing about this terrible judgment, there's no substance left. I need to click this. Okay? So it says, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. There's no joy left. In verse 7 and 8, it says, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do what? Sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoiceth endeth. The joy of the harp ceases. You know, man's naive. It saddens me that you go up and you say, people will say, I'm going to hell and I'm going to have a party down there with my friends. I'm sorry. It saddens me. Because my Bible tells me that you're going to be in utter darkness. There'll be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is never quenched and the worm turneth not. That doesn't sound like a good time to me. The Bible says in Jude on how some having compassion making a difference. If I could scare you into heaven by showing you what kind of judgment's coming, that's okay too. Because this judgment's coming. And if you don't know Christ, this judgment's on you. So there's no substance left. There's no joy left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabret ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp See that? There's no comfort left. In verse 9, they shall not drink wine with the song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. You can't find any rest or anything in this. There's no comfort left. No substance left. No joy left. No comfort left. You know why? Because there's no hope left. When God's judgment starts, all there is judgment. It says in verses 10 through 12, it says the city of confusion is broken down. Who's the city of confusion? Jerusalem. Okay? Every house is what? Shut up, that no man may come in. There's a crying for wine in the street. Anything that would give a respite. There's a crying for it. It's not there. All joy is what? Darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. And the Israelites should have known better than anything else. They had the book of Isaiah when Nebuchadnezzar came knocking on the door and destroyed the city. They had this. They had Jeremiah. When they're in captivity, they had Ezekiel. They had Daniel. They should have known. They should have known Messiah was coming. They should have known all this was coming. They should have known to repent. Father, we know now. Do we do anything about it? So it's a terrible judgment. So we see tribulation judgment from God as the first point. The second thing is we see that tribulation saints are preserved. There will be people that get through the tribulation period. Okay? There is a remnant identified in verse 13. It says, "And thus shall it be in the midst of the land among the people, that there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done." Okay, so when you go and you pick grapes, what happens? You pick all the grapes you can find, and invariably you're going to leave what? A couple. You were supposed to leave some, and the poor of the land were supposed to get that. The same thing with the olive tree. You're not supposed to pick it bare. You're supposed to leave it. Basically, what's left over. And think about this. You know, there's probably 6 billion people in the world today. It's not going to be anywhere near that number coming out of the tribulation period. In flesh. There will be. They don't receive the mark of the beast and they escape martyrdom. There will happen. There will be people that turn to God in the tribulation period. When they realize who it is. But there's going to be a great vast number of them that will what? Believe the lie. They'll be duped. That's the elect that's talked about here. We won't be here. We're coming back at the end of the tribulation with Christ. That's another story. That's another study, okay? So the remnant's identified. The reason the remnant is left, in verses 14 through 15, it says this: "They shall lift up their voice." Now, what's happening to all the people going through the judgment? What are they doing to God? They're blasting. They're blaspheming. They're cursing. They're denying. They're doing all this other stuff. What's left of the remnant? Look at this: "They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the what? Majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires," in the tough times, okay? "Even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea." And you go into this, isles of the sea means all nations. What's going to happen at the end? Christ is going to come down to where? Jerusalem. Specifically where? The Mount of Olives. What's going to happen? He's going to split it in two. What's going to happen? All the countries are going to come around and surround Jerusalem. And what's going to happen? Total destruction. And what's God going to do? He's going to set up a 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem. And He's going to establish all the things in Israel that should have happened beforehand. And they're going to look at Him and they're going to look on Him whom they pierced. That's what Revelation says. They're going to call out to Him. And people are going to have to start doing all the stuff that they should have done in the first place for the next 1,000 years. And if they don't do it, there's judgment. It's got to happen because God's Word's true. And those that get through, you got a choice. You can worship God or you don't. You know what we have today? We have a choice. You can worship God or not. If you don't worship God, you don't serve Him, guess what's coming? Judgment. There won't be showers of blessing. You won't be near the cross. You'll be far away from it. So we see tribulation saints preserved here. We see the remnant identified, and the reason the remnant is left to glorify God. What is our purpose in life? To glorify God. That's our purpose. I want a mission statement. Glorify God. Simple. You can even remember it. But do we get it? Third, during this judgment, there's universal and unparalleled suffering. There is present suffering. Isaiah's reaction in verse 16. It says, "From the uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous." But I said, who's the I here? It's Isaiah. He says, my leanness. You know, this is current today as it was back there. There's not a lot of people that seek God today, folks.
Right.
The world system is not seeking Him. And we look around, you could sit back and say, where has America gone in the last 50 years? The last 30 years? The last 10 years. Where has the church gone in that same time frame? My leanness. Isaiah is living in a place where people are not worshiping God. They're not seeking Him. They're doing the opposite thing. It's today. Woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Oh, we see that today, don't we? Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt not just treacherously, but what? Very treacherously. You know, it's any more that you can't trust anyone. You can't trust anything you read. You can't trust anything you hear. All you hear is you hear about fake news and all this other stuff. Isn't this the same stuff? The prophets in this time during Jeremiah's time that follows Isaiah said, we prophesy, we'll never go into captivity. Jerusalem will stay forever. Jeremiah says, if that's the word of the God, then I'm not a prophet. We need to be the vocal few right now about what's coming. When you see these signs, it's near, even at the what? Doors. Isaiah saw this. It's years, decades away, but it's coming. And he's crying this out. He's the watchman. There's three dangers identified, verses 17 through 18. It says, and it's pretty obvious. It says, fear and the pit and the snare upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Who is he talking about? He's talking about this final judgment. Okay? So, you know, when you set up a trap, you're trying to trap something, you set up what? Multiple traps. You just don't set out one trap. And there's all sorts of different types of traps. So if you escape one, you fall into the what? The other. Look at verse 18. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the what? Fear There's the first danger, shall fall into the what? Pit. That's the second danger. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. That's the third danger. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. And you can look in the tribulation period in Revelation, what talks about that. And some of these judgments, what happens? The earth shakes. The sky is darkened. The moon is cut off. See? You know, what do you do when you're fearful? What do you do when you're really scared? You run, right? And you keep on running, and all of a sudden you get fearful again, and you run another direction, and you're constantly running, you're running, you're running, you're running. And there's no rest. The only place you can find rest, folks, is in God. Enter into my rest. The pit, all through the Bible, represents death. And the snare is all the deceptions that are out there saying it's not as bad as you think it is. No, you're okay. Folks, if you don't feel you're okay, don't go talk to somebody else. You need to go talk to God. Yeah. If things aren't okay, let's go to the absolute standard and figure it out. So we see Isaiah's reaction. We see these three dangers identified. And then we see an eightfold judgment on the earth. Okay? Verses 19 and 20 says, the earth is utterly broken down. One. The earth is clean, dissolved. Two. The earth is moved exceedingly. Three. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Four. And shall be removed like a cottage. Five. And the transgression thereof shall be what? Heavy upon it. That's six. And it shall fall seven. And not rise again, eight. There's an eightfold judgment on the world here. And if you go through the plagues and everything else, you see this. The earth is broken down. Pieces of it dissolve. It's moved by earthquakes and terrible things. Meteors hitting the earth and all sorts of stuff. It reels to and fro. Does all these things here, and people can't find no rest, and they run from it, and they go into another judgment, and they fall into the pit. And if they manage to get out of the pit, they get deceived and they go into something else. So there's the eightfold judgment on the earth, and then God's enemies are defeated. And we know where the place is called. It's called Megiddo. It's also called Armageddon, verse 21. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day. We already know what that day means. That is the day of what? Judgment. Okay? That the Lord shall what? Punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And look, if you go and read Revelation 20 and 21 about the final battle, it happens twice. Once at the before the millennium kingdom and once at the end. Same spot, because mankind doesn't learn. And God's enemies will be defeated. At the beginning of the thousand-year reign, what happens? Satan is what? Bound and thrown into pit for how long? 1,000 years, along with the what? the beast and the false prophet. At the end, everybody comes up, and at the end of the thousand-year reign, there's a thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. All the dead in sin will be judged at that judgment. It is not for believers. It's not for believers. And at the end of the 1,000 years, at the end, it says, and they shall be what? Gathered together as prisoners are not are gathered in the pit. It says that death and hell will give up the dead, the sea will give up the dead, and all will appear before God, and they're judged out of the books, the books of works and the books of life, and none of them are found in the book of life, and then they're cast in the everlasting fire forever. And then this earth is totally dissolved, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Gathered pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. The many days is the 1,000 years. So the last point tonight, in verse 23, says, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before His ancients gloriously. Christ's rule will be a total rule. Nature, earth, okay? Heaven and earth. It's going to be a total rule. And you know something? It's an anticipated rule. Who's present here? The ancients, the ones who believed before Christ. They're going to see. The Old Testament saints, we're going to be there too. We're going to see it too, folks. Amen. So what's the point? What was the point of Isaiah speaking this to Israel? So they would repent and turn to God. And if they repented and turned to God, it wouldn't change God's plan, but those people would escape God's judgment. They would get through this. What's the point for us? There's judgment coming. There's judgment coming. Christ talked more about this in his parables. The wedding feast, the 10 virgins, all those things talk about being what? Ready. Even the parable of the talents that we used on Sunday morning was what? Occupy till I come. Be working for God. Why? Because He's coming back. Why? Because before He comes back, there's judgment. And He doesn't want... The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That is Scripture. So, with the way of judgment, He makes a way to escape. And I'll close with Galatians 1:4. Who, talking about Christ, gave Himself for our what? Sins. That He might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. It's God's will that everyone receive Jesus Christ as Savior. It's God's will that you should get saved. It's God's will that you should repent. It's God's will that you should be conformed to His image. It's God's will that you don't go through this judgment. But people don't follow God's will, do we? There will be people that will be lost and go to hell. There will be people that don't understand the signs, and they will go through this tribulation, and they will be eternally punished. But God never intended for that. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Always comes back to that. That's the mission of the church, to proclaim the gospel, the good news. You don't have to go through the judgment. Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried. He rose 3 days later. He sits on the throne of heaven, offering salvation to all who would say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. I can't get there on my own. I know that you sent your Son on to die on the cross for my sins. Forgive me my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you did this for me and save my soul." That's what it's all about. Don't go through God's judgment. Follow Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, just to follow you with all of our heart. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you, Lord, for the insight that you give us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the life of Isaiah. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whose name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you.